Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus is in fact our refuge. It is to him that we run to, especially when conflict comes our way. Lord, we trust in you in all things, and you have warned us, you have told us that this life will not be easy because we follow your Son. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit will accompany us in all days, shielding us, guiding us, protecting us under your care and wisdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So growing up, my parents had an equipment rental business that rented contractor equipment to families, to workers. And during its heyday, we had three stores scattered around the Central Texas area. We called it A to Z Rental. The idea was, you can rent everything from A to Z. We embellished. But it got its start in Austin, Texas, east of I-35 along Highway 290 on a road called Cameron Road. Anyone know Cameron Road? Yes, one. Yes, I didn't think there would be any. Yes, some more. Okay. So during that time, there was an event that occurred that is just plain as day to me still now. So I was somewhere around like 3 years old, and we're in one of those old, ugly Chevy vans. It was Band-Aid color. We called it Band-Aid van. And we're driving home one evening, it's nighttime, and we're driving home, and we're driving past my dad's shop, because what he liked to do in the off hours, crime was picking up in the area, so what he liked to do is we like to drive by and just look, drive by real quick, go around the back, look and make sure nothing was broken into, nothing was gone. So we came there that evening, and we're driving by, and he knew the guy that had the mechanic shop, this service station at one end of it, name was Manny. He knew Manny. And as we were driving through this shopping center, my dad looks at my mom, and he says, "That's Manny. What's Manny doing?" Manny was in front of his shop with a chrome tire iron in his hand. And my dad drives a little closer and kind of looks at Manny and gives him that what's going on look. So Manny walks over and he whispers and he goes, "There's a guy in my garage. I'm going to get him. Nobody steals from me." So Manny headed towards the garage and we got out of there. There were four little kids in that car. So we headed out. We got away from that danger. A few minutes later, we're home. Dad's on the phone with Austin PD. Now, I don't know how that thing played out. I don't know if Manny got him. I don't know if the PD got him. I don't know if the guy got away. But what I do know is that in that moment, Manny was going to war. The image of that chrome tire iron shining as a little bit of that gas station light would hit him in that darkness. I can still see that tire iron. Now, from a business perspective, you could argue this makes sense. This was a mom-and-pop shop for Manny. He wasn't making big money. He was probably hand-to-mouth, had a family at home. So whatever that thief was trying to take, it was probably going to be a big financial hit for Manny. And that's kind of expected, isn't it? Someone tries to harm us. Someone tries to take our stuff. Someone even disagrees with us. We're going to throw down. We're going to look for that tire iron, and we're going to go to war. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to standing firm in the faith, defending the gospel, how are we supposed to act? When opposition comes, when people are against Jesus, how are we supposed to respond to them? Our Old Testament story gives us a response to that answer. Every time I read this story about Jeremiah, and I try to like really live and sit in his spot, the more nervous I get. God sent Jeremiah into the city and he said, "Take him this message." And he told him the exact message and had the people respond. They laid hold of him. It said they laid hold of him and they said, "You shall die." He's in a worst case scenario right there. And it wasn't just an individual troublemaker. It was a whole group of people that had circled around him and wanted his head. And it was even people of influence. It said the priests and the prophets were part of the group. So what did Jeremiah say that bothered them so much? We didn't necessarily read that part of the text this morning. But Jeremiah basically told them, "Look, you are living apart from God. You are disobeying and ignoring his commands." And in response, God said he's going to turn this house like Shiloh. The people knew what happened in Shiloh. See, Shiloh had been where the Ark of the Covenant had sat for a time. But the people during that time turned away from God. They started living sinfully. So God let the Philistines come in and crush the city. Shiloh was an image of God's wrath. So we can see why the people were so angry at him. And the text says that all the people gathered around Jeremiah. Even the officials of Judah closed in around him. So put yourself in that spot for just a bit. You're the cheese that stands alone in front of an angry mob that wants your head. Imagine having all those angry people around you, and you start to think, are these actual legit threats? Are they actually capable of doing this? Is the guy in the back that looks like he's a step away from crazy about to kick this whole thing off? All this hatred simply for speaking the word of God. All he did was take the words God gave him and shared them with the people. All he did was stand firm in the faith. Be honest. What would have been your gut reaction? What would you have said or done in that moment? Would you have been looking for your tire iron? Let's look back at how Jeremiah responded. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you." Where's the tire iron? Where's the words of argument and defense? Why is he not pleading and begging for this group to let him go? Why is he not going to war? Jeremiah takes no offense, no pleading, no begging. He doesn't change his story. Imagine the temptation for that. There's no fight in Jeremiah. Jeremiah simply said, "I am in your hands. Do with me as you see right. I am speaking the words of God to you. I am innocent. Do what you want." Who does this sound like? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? It's a glance forward to our Savior's arrest and crucifixion. And we can't hear Jeremiah's tone in the text. It wasn't recorded, right? But he seems to have this calm confidence in what he's saying. He's maybe even a little peaceful. Why not fight back, beg, plead, change your story, do all those things to get yourself out of there? Why not do anything and everything, Jeremiah, to save yourself? Again, our eyes look to Jesus. Jeremiah was a mirror of the Christ to come. Much like Jesus during his earthly ministry, when he faced conflict, he trusted the will of his heavenly Father. Jeremiah was doing the same thing. He realized that in that moment of conflict, God still reigned. He knew that he was in the Lord's care. He knew that for some reason, God had allowed that moment to play out in that way, and in that, he could trust that God was in control. He could trust that God was going to provide, whether in his life right there, his earthly life, or maybe even more importantly, he was trusting that the eternal things were still there. Even if his earthly life had ended in that moment, Jeremiah knew that all the promises that God had made to him, the eternal ones, were not lost. For Jeremiah, there was no point in looking for his tire iron and going to war. It wasn't his war to fight. He knew that responding to sin with more sin accomplished nothing. And it wasn't the will of his heavenly Father. Jeremiah's role was simply to stand firm, speak the word of God, and trust the Lord, not wage war. Jeremiah understood that vengeance and wrath and revenge belong to the Lord and not him. In our lives today as disciples of Christ, we will face conflict. There are people that are going to be against us. Jesus didn't say, if you suffer on account of me. He said, when you will suffer on account of me. And sometimes this conflict is going to be small. Brush it off, no big deal. Other times this conflict is going to feel like a freight train runs through your front door. But whatever the conflict, you and I can mirror Jeremiah as he mirrors Christ. In this moment for Jeremiah, it would be another 500 or something years before Jesus steps into this world and begins his earthly ministry, yet Jeremiah was mirroring the life of Christ in that moment. He was standing firm in the faith, peacefully trusting his heavenly Father. When conflict hits us today, if we look for our tire iron and match sin with more sin, we're misrepresenting the gospel. We're cheapening it. We're short-selling it of its truth. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Jesus says, love your enemy. Jesus says, sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And so we do. Because our Lord Jesus has already done all of that for us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit, what he called the Helper. He gives us the Holy Spirit to not only keep our eyes fixed on him, especially during those moments of great adversity, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit to allow us to mirror him. And here's the thing. You and I both know our pride's going to take a hit. We're going to be in certain environments where people look at us and say, you're wrong. We will feel like the outcast. But again, we look to Jesus. We endure for the benefit, for the gain, for the good fruit of the gospel. Now, it's highly unlikely we're going to face a situation like Jeremiah did. And it's pretty much guaranteed we're never going to be crucified like Christ. But no matter the depth of the conflict, God has promised to be present and to carry us through those moments. And most importantly, the eternal promises that God has made to you through Christ are still there. You are still loved. You are still forgiven. And you are still promised eternal life. And I'll close with this. When we face conflict, when we face enemies against our faith, there's one very, very powerful thing we can do. We can pray for that other person. We can pray that God would soften their heart, that God would squash the hostility they have for him, that God would transform their hearts and change that cold, dark heart and that cold, dark stance towards him, change it to see Christ as Lord. And while we're at it, we need to pray for our own hearts. We need to pray that God would soften our own hearts towards that enemy in front of us. That God would give us the hearts of compassion and understanding. Because there's a really good chance we're going to cross paths with that person again. We're going to have a conversation with that person again. And our heart needs to be in the right place. This life is far too short, and the gospel is far too important and critical to spend the time, the minutes we have in war with one another. What a great opportunity we have to be the light into the world, to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, to lean in heavily to that Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, come and help me in this moment, because my flesh wants to fight back. May we trust our Lord daily. May we seek his guidance and his counsel and his wisdom so that when conflict does come, we can stand firm in the faith, we can resist sin, and we can point to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us into this family, that you have adopted us as your very own, that you've blessed us with the gift of baptism. where we know that we are loved and we are forgiven, that we are chosen by you. Lord, as conflict comes, may you strengthen us by your Spirit. May you grant us courage and confidence in the face of adversity. And may we know that no matter what comes, your love remains, and our eternal salvation is secure in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.